Today on Real Life Radio.
His word is true, and what he says is the word. Simple. So if you've heard a word from the Lord, you better judge it according to your Bible. The Bible is the plumb line. What has God said? What is God saying? If it's in the word, believe it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What Faith Has to Do. The book of Luke gives us insight into the humanity and divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, really could do. Here, as we continue in chapter 7, we'll see how extraordinary faith cries out to God, knowing there is no other. You see, faith says anything is possible with God. Faith reaches out in our darkest moments and gives us hope for a brand new day. The Lord wants to be with us and to change things in our lives that are distressing us. He wants us to rise up out of our guilt and feelings of unworthiness and to call upon Him for help. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that many Christians live their lives as if they have no faith at all. Tragedy and death may sting the human heart, but living without trust and dependence on the Lord keeps us in a coffin of fear and doubt. Now, in his message called, What Faith Has to Do, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Listen to what he says. Jesus says to the woman, in her hearing, I should say, don't weep. Okay, she hears that. Then he turns and I want to see this. Jesus touches the coffin. You guys, does any of you have any Jewish background about touching coffins? You don't touch coffins. It's forbidden in the book of Leviticus. You don't touch coffins. It's forbidden. If you touch a coffin, you're defiled. It's God sending the message to the Jewish people. Death is hideous. It's horrible. Stay away from it. Run from it. Get away. Go. Get as far away from it as you can. Meaning, run to me. I am your life. Don't get close to it. Jesus walks up or stands still. I don't know what's going on because remember, they're coming into town and the procession's going out of town. He says to her, don't weep. And then he touches the coffin. Oh, he doesn't just touch the coffin. Jesus touches the dead man. It says here, touch the open coffin. The word means he touched the dead guy. Now, right about now, if you're a rabbi, I mean, your beanie is like about 3 feet off your head. We don't do that stuff. There's no way. You see, Jesus doesn't care about that because love triumphs over the law and mercy over judgment. he already knows what he's going to do. Just when someone can accuse him of touching a dead guy, the guy's alive. What are you going to do with that? Jesus, you touched a guy that was dead. I love this. Then he came and he touched the open coffin. And those, and justifiably, who were carrying him stood still. You could hear the brakes squeal. As they stop there, all the eyes are upon Jesus. All the ears are in tune to what he's about to see or do. Something is about to happen. Death was about to meet its match. Death is going to get whipped in a minute. By the way, whenever Jesus walks into a room, sin meets its match. I love that. Whenever Jesus begins to enter into an area, death begins to tremble. Listen, some of you need to hear this. Whenever Jesus walks into a room and the grace of God comes into a room, condemnation and the law has got to tip its hat and let grace and Christ go by. Legalism, the law, has got to tip its hat when Christ enters in with his grace and his mercy. What a wonderful thing that is about to happen. And he says to the man, notice this. Look at it in your Bible. This is wild. Jesus is about to deliver the one and only remedy for death and decay, and it's absolutely wild to me. Jesus says to the dead guy, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Do you have a problem with that? I mean, not a problem. I want to know how this works. The guy's dead. "Young man, arise." I mean, how did he, what? Those ears couldn't hear anymore. Oh, church, grab this. The fingers, are, the tips were cold, if not blue by now. This guy was going nowhere. And Jesus says, "Young man, arise, get up." Is that not wonderful? "Get up." And my mind went off as it usually goes off somewhere. How did the guy hear? Where was he? What was going on? This transcends immediately, number one, the dead body. Jesus speaks beyond the dead. You guys, Jesus speaks beyond the grave. It's only Jesus can do that. Jesus speaks beyond the netherworld, the spiritual realm. Jesus goes in there with a word. "Young man, arise." He could hear Jesus' words from wherever he was. May you rejoice this morning in joy and glory unspeakable, or may you be brought to your knees in sheer terror. The truth is, living in this world, the way that you hear and what you do, memory and death, it appears that it happens to the physical body. That when Jesus speaks, there's something of a great connection beyond the realm that you and I know nothing about, and we're fools to say that we do. "Oh, I had a near-death experience." Let me tell you something. If you had a near-death experience and it was real, not drug-induced or satanically empowered, then you've come back and you are preaching the gospel to every creature that is alive, because if it was of God, like Paul the Apostle, or what this young man's going to teach us, you will give glory to God because it's his voice you heard. When somebody says, "Oh, I wrote a book on my near-death experience," you don't have to worry about anything. There's no judgment. "Oh, those Christians are wrong. I felt very warm, very peaceful. I was heading down this tunnel. I could see light at the end. And then I woke up and I felt very, very fine." How do you know that light at the end of the tunnel wasn't a train coming in the opposite direction? How do you know it wasn't the flames of hell about ready to lick you up? "Oh, I'm going to trust in my experience over the very words of he who came back from the dead." I know, don't write me. You're going to write me and say, "But I had an experience." I don't want to know about your experience. I love you, but I don't want to know about your experience. I don't need to know. When I do a funeral and the deceased is there, I always tell the family, those in attendance, that he's not here, you know. And I go into all that. I use all the analogies. I use the scriptures. No problem. Do you know what's weird? It's when you're doing a funeral and the guy's 16 years old and he OD'd. And it's hard for me because I'm like looking. Man, why is that guy not getting up and walking out of here? I mean, he looks like he'd get out of here. He looks like he could just run. It's so strange. And if you look too long at that, you can lose hope, you know? It seems like every time I do a funeral at Rose Hills or Forest Lawn, inevitably there is someone there with a lawn chair, an umbrella, a little ice chest, sitting next to a tombstone, crocheting or reading a magazine or a book. And that's exactly where this woman is heading, unless Jesus steps into her life. And when I see that woman or that man sitting there at Forest Lawn, and there's nobody around but that tombstone. Do you understand what's being communicated there? The day that person died, that person died. Jesus is going to touch this guy, and he's going to say something. And I love what he has to say. Third and final point is this. What faith has to do, verses 15 to 17, so he, who was dead, sat up. Jesus said to him, young man, arise. Isn't that wild? Young man, get up. I wonder who he did this for anyway. Did he do it for the young man or did he do it for the mom? And you know, you could sit here, you could build a seminary on that question. Now, why did Jesus do that? How about Jesus did it for you and I to be talking about it today too? How about Jesus did it because some of you have lost some loved ones, I would say, in a crowd this big? You lost someone. What faith has to do is to honor God with our life. The Bible says this guy sat up and began to speak. First thing we realize is that what we are doing, what are we doing with Jesus? With what God has done in our lives, what are we doing for Jesus? Look what it says. And so verse 15, he who was dead. Man, that's weird to read, isn't it? Hey, aren't you the guy that was dead? Can you imagine, Teddy, you go to lunch. Hey, you're the waiter here, right? Yeah. Weren't you dead before? Could you imagine this guy after this was all over? Hey, Mike! Hey, that's Mike. He was the dead guy last week. Isn't that wild? He sat up and began to speak. And this is really fun, what I'm about to show you here, is that the words here, began to speak, the word means to commence in order of time or chronology. The word means to rehearse from the beginning. But nobody knows what. Scholars have written articles. We don't know what the guy's talking about. It just says that he came up out of the box talking. So some scholars say when he died, it was sudden. And when he was brought back to life, he picked up where he was, you know, he was talking about how the, you know, the Galilean, you know, nets beat the Jerusalem Jaguars and the, and then he pops back up and he says, oh yeah, the score was 5-0. Some say that's what it means. Some say, no. It means that he began to recount from the beginning the very arrival of Jesus that he began to speak about. Now, even though the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord, this is very interesting. I have this question. Apparently, this young man heard Jesus speak in the spirit realm, even though his ears were dead, even though his face was gray. When Jesus said, young man, arise, where was he? Isn't that wild? It's your Jesus. Aren't you? Can I say this in the right way? I'm so proud of my Jesus. I'm so happy about my Jesus. You know what? When he speaks, you think death, oh, I'm sorry, Jack. I dropped call. Can you hear me now? When he speaks, it pierces right through this physical realm, goes into the spirit realm, and whatever, however, he said it, that guy could hear. That guy could hear. He heard him. Young man, arise. And there was none of this, which one? There's a lot of young men. He knew. Young man, arise. And the guy sits up. Man. Wouldn't it have been amazing carrying that casket? And your friend pops up. Jesus, I heard his voice from beyond the grave. Don't you think you'd become a believer at that second? Can you imagine some guy just goes, oh, are you sure? Are you stupid? I'm talking to you right now. I'm alive. It's me. How's he doing that? What a trick. No. And it says that Jesus presented him to his mother. Oh my goodness. The word here is as beautiful as the story ends. Jesus there's a smile on his face. And he goes like this. In other words, kind of allow me to put this in. I told you not to cry. You see? Can you imagine? Verse 17 says, in this report, by the way, circle the word report. It means rumor, news, or story, the recounting of. And so the recounting of this event went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding regions as far as to Chino Hills. This morning, it sure is true. And I want to end with this. This blows my mind. This blesses my heart. It means that people, the word means that people sat around and talked about that day. Oh, you should have been there. Everybody made the normal preparations, but you know, this day was different because that precious woman, she had gone through so much. She had lost her husband. She'd been a widow, and her son was so good to her. And you know, why do such bad things happen to such good people? But it happened, and anyway, we made all the preparations. We even kind of went beyond the extra mile because she was just so dear to us, and the whole city went out. And back then, there was this preacher, evangelist guy, Jesus. A lot of stir was going on about him. He was coming into town. Anyway, he did the unthinkable. I mean, he just freaked us Jews out. And he is a Jew. He reached in and touched the dead body. And he said, young man, arise, get up. And he got up. And we don't understand exactly how this all came about, but we know this. That whatever he says, he does. And he can do anything. And ever since he came to our town, we just don't even put the word impossible in our dictionary anymore. And God spoke to that community. And he spoke to that mom. And apparently, clearly, he spoke to that boy. I'm going to leave you with this. Last Sunday, I was delivering the message at Calvary St. Petersburg in Russia, and in the conclusion of the message, I had said, are you ready to meet Jesus? And you know, that city's massive. There's, I think, 6 or 7 million people in that town. That city eats people alive. It's hard. You know, those people travel over an hour to get to church, metros and buses just to get to church. Did you know Jesus is all they have? And so anyway, Pastor Dima had told me, he said, listen, as soon as you're done, you've got to end by this time, because as soon as you're done, we have to get you to the airport, and even then, we don't know if you're going to make it on your plane in time. And I was speaking in Seattle the next morning. I had to be on there. So in the message, I'm concluding, and I'm saying, you need to know that you know Jesus personally, and you need to be assured of the fact that if you die today, these things are written, the Bible says that you might know you have eternal life. If you die today, would you go to heaven? I said, you could die right here, right now, in this sanctuary. Would you go to heaven? If you're guessing, you're not going to make it. If you say, yes, Jesus died for me, and that's how I'm going to get in, then hallelujah. But if you don't know, you need to decide. And I said, you know, be careful, because you could come, you can go home from this service and get on the metro and travel on that metro and get come up that escalator and step out on the street and slip on a banana and fall and break your neck. You could die like that before you ever get a chance to think. And and the message came to an end, and they threw me in a taxi cab, and away we go to the airport, and the pastor and his wife were in the back seat. And she was teary-eyed and talking to him in Russian, and I thought, look, they're missing me already. And Demas said, a miracle's happened today. I said, what? He said, a miracle's happened today. I said, what happened? He said, there's a woman that used to come to this church, and she tried to get her husband to come. And he died. So she was angry at God. She was hurt because he never accepted the Lord. So she always wondered where he was. And she heard that the Americans were in town, and maybe I'll go back to church today. So she comes and she listens. And she told God on the way, you have to give me something. I can't live like this. To think that my husband denied you on his last breath and is in hell. I don't want anything to do with you. This is it, God, I'm done. And she does this deal with God. You let me know where he's at. You got to somehow just tell me. Well, Dima's all emotional and Alina was all emotional. And so what happened? He came up out of the metro and hit the steps and slipped and fell back and broke his neck. And shortly, within a period of time, he died. That's exactly what you said today. She was asking the Lord to speak to her. And in the message was entitled, Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And she said that the Lord spoke straight to her heart and said, He's with me. He called out to me at the last moment. Now you get with me, you walk with me, and you stay with me. And you'll see him again. Who have you lost? Did you love him enough to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. You're the boss. You do it. I believe you died on the cross and rose again from the dead. I believe that if a man dies believing in you, yet shall he live. I believe that my sin put you on the cross, but I also believe in your Bible that says that your righteousness, Jesus, takes me to heaven. And I receive that free gift. You see, the choice is yours. If we just let God be God, no one tries to stuff this guy back in the box. No one tries to discourage this lady. That's not what Jesus said. Will you just simply receive? Let's pray that you do that now. Father, Lord, we come to you, and Father, we ask in Jesus' name if there's anyone this morning that is not sure, that right now, right where they're at, they would say, Lord, I make this commitment to you. I give you my life. Everything I have, good and bad, ugly, cute, big or small, proud of, embarrassed of, I hold nothing back. Lord, I come to you and I receive your salvation offer of eternal life. I ask you, Lord, to do in my life what Jesus said must happen, that I must be born from above to start this life all over again. Lord, do it in my life, please.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What Faith Has to Do. We're glad you joined us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So, Pastor Jack, I kind of feel like the church has changed since COVID, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. And you have a book that you want to talk about by Eric Metaxas. It's called Letter to the American Church.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel that this book adequately addresses the struggles of the church in this post-COVID world?
Well, Davey, that's exactly right. In a post-COVID world, who knows what church is anymore? When you can attend a church today and you don't know if it's woke or not, you don't know if it's relying on the Bible or not.
Yeah.
The brilliance of this book is that Eric has taken history and scripture and he has done what we all should do, and that is tie it together.
Uh-huh.
Because when you do that, you can figure out where you're going. You can learn from the past so that you don't make the same mistakes as the past. But because of our awesome Bible, Eric leans on where the church needs to go for the future. And so it's a tremendously powerful book and very, very timely right now, more than ever.
That's Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas. And that's Pastor Jack's book of the month for the month of January. You can pick up your copy of Letter to the American Church for a gift of any amount by going to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.